You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. Barack Obama held a news conference yesterday, and the wide-ranging set of issues that it covered gives us some hint of what the summer is going to be like for the president. There's a lot on his plate, and of course, it began yesterday with Iran.
I think it is not too late for the Iranian government to recognize that that there is a peaceful path that will lead to stability and legitimacy and prosperity for the Iranian people. We hope they take it.
The question of reaction inside Iran to the Obama statements is actually premature, but the issue is really, really clear, and President Obama made that point yesterday.
My role has been to say the United States is not going to be a foil for the Iranian government to try to blame what's happening on the streets of Tehran on the CIA or on the White House, that this is an issue that is led by and given voice to the frustrations of the Iranian people. And so we've been very consistent the first day, and we're going to continue to be consistent in saying this is not an issue about the United States, this is about an issue of the Iranian people.
So a delicate game of keeping his distance is how Barack Obama talks about Iran. But Iraq, that's a totally different story.
I have made it clear to the Iraqi people that we pursue no bases and no claim on their territory or resources. Iraq's sovereignty is its own.
That's the president, of course, speaking in Cairo, reiterating U.S. policy that the United States, despite its occupation of Iraq, has no designs on the territory of Iraq. Tuesday, next Tuesday, marks the deadline for many U.S. troops to withdraw from Iraqi cities after 6 years of occupation. It's a projection of policy, a reduction in the forces in Iraq, and it's also a test for the institutions in Iraq to see if they can go it alone. Rod Nordland is the foreign correspondent in the Baghdad Bureau for our partners, the New York Times. He wrote a front-page story in this morning's paper about whether Iraq is capable of passing this test of preserving its own security. Rod Nordland joins us from Rome. Good morning, Rod.
Good morning.
First of all, what is the nature of the test, and where are we likely to see problems with Iraqi forces maintaining their own security, first of all?
Well, I think one of the first places, and this is what we wrote about, is going to be Anbar province and particularly Fallujah. The Marines, although, despite the history of that place, things were going very well there, and the Marines actually started withdrawing from the cities and towns much earlier in Anbar than they did elsewhere. So in Fallujah particularly, there's pretty much no presence of U.S. forces, and for some time now, it's been an Iraqi show almost entirely. And the level of violence has been creeping up in a very worrisome way.
And what is the nature of this violence? I mean, of course, during the 2004, 2005, even 2006 period, the violence was strongly sectarian, and you had a strong influence of what was called Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Has it changed in character?
Yes, there isn't a sectarian aspect in Fallujah for the simple reason there's only Sunnis, so there aren't two sects to be in conflict. But the important difference with this is that it appears to be Iraqi insurgent groups, a variety of them, particularly the Islamic Army of Iraq, rather than Al-Qaeda, which was a foreign-led organization that was completely repudiated by people in Fallujah. So they're styling themselves a patriotic resistance, but they're still attacking not only the U.S., what few U.S. forces there are, but also Iraqi police and military.
How much of this is a posturing to get full advantage, whatever groups are involved here, as the U.S. pulls out, with the idea that by increasing chaos on the ground, they're more likely to have political success later?
I think there's a large element of that, and I think we'll see a really big ramping up after June 30th. And if other areas in the country go the way Fallujah is starting to go, it's something to be very concerned about.
Well, let's recap some of the headlines over the past couple of days. There was a series of explosions across Baghdad on Monday. 22 people dead there, dozens wounded. There was a suicide truck bomb that killed at least 70 people in a Turkmen town in northern Iraq. Are any of these related, or is it more a sign of a kind of a devolving chaos that would come as this transition begins to take hold?
Well, I think both things are probably true, and with the caveat that there's really no way to know. I mean, you don't, in most cases, you really can't tell who is doing what. I mean, I think it'll take a little longer for a pattern to become apparent. But everyone expects they're going to increase the tempo of their attacks come June 30th, and this appears to be a build-up toward that. That bomb in Kirkuk was probably the biggest and most deadly in a year's time. And I would expect we'll see more of that kind of thing after June 30th. And there are some people that worry that, you know, with the U.S. not on the scene, that the Iraqi security forces could really crumble in the face of a concerted campaign.
Of course, part of where you place the bar on this test of Iraqi authorities is in the United States, as well as among civilians and people in Iraq who are likely to be victims of chaos. I mean, what are commanders telling you? Iraq has almost no profile in the United States debate right now going into the summer. As long as U.S. casualties stay down, it seems that Americans are willing to tolerate virtually any level of chaos in Iraq. Are commanders aware of that, and is that their analysis?
I've never heard anybody actually put it like that, but they're certainly concerned that public attention and to some degree official attention has shifted to Afghanistan and Pakistan. And as they often point out, they're still only, I forget the exact numbers, but it's 30 or 40,000 American troops in Afghanistan, and there are still 130,000 plus in Iraq.
How do commanders describe the mission at this point? Is it to create the modalities for a withdrawal, or is there really a kind of hearts and minds mission, an anti-insurgency mission that is a continuation of what went on under General Petraeus?
Yeah, I think it's more a training and advising mission now, and they're all talking about that as what they're doing, and that everyone sees to be part and parcel of an orderly withdrawal from Iraq. I mean, we can't very well leave Iraq if the Iraqi forces can't stand on their own, so we need to do as much as we can to train them. Now, we're committed under the Status of Forces Agreement between the United States and Iraq to get all our combat troops out of the cities by June 30th, and then out of Iraq entirely by the middle of next year, and then even all our trainers and advisors by the end of next year. But a lot will depend on how well things go after June 30th, if we can keep to that timetable. You know, it's not just a matter of our wanting to keep to it, but, you know, the Iraqi government may well want to change it too if things aren't going well.
Are there signs that they might revisit the Status of Forces Agreement? And do commanders think that this timetable, and I'm actually surprised that June 30th has come so quickly, do they believe that this timetable is way too ambitious?
You know, the American military is very good at getting on message, and the message is we can do it, they're going to be ready, and we're going to be out of here on time. And how much they really believe that, I hope they don't really believe that, because it doesn't make very much sense. There are even a lot of Iraqi officials who will say publicly that they don't think their own forces can possibly be ready on that timetable, and are very worried about the U.S. sticking to an artificial timetable to get out no matter what, for political reasons at home. On the other hand, I mean, politically, it would be a disaster for us also if we get out and the country and the government falls, or the country descends into complete and total chaos.
Well, I want to talk about the complete and total chaos scenario in just a moment, but I mean, are you saying, and based on your reporting this morning, that at the very least we are likely to see an escalation of violence this summer as the administration attempts to deal with Afghanistan and now Iran, that Iraq could be back center stage as the Americans pull out of the cities?
I think you can almost count on that happening, at least for the short term after June 30th. Whether it would be effective in degrading the Iraqi capacity to defend themselves now that the Americans aren't right on the scene, that's the important question.
Very quickly, Rod, is the worst-case scenario in Iraq still a kind of partition where the north splits off from the Sunni center, which splits off from the Shiite south?
No, I think the worst scenario is World War III, which, you know, there won't be a partition of Iraq. There are too many parties with interest in it, from
World War
to Saudi Arabia.
I'll take that to the bank. We've got to leave it there. Rod Nordland, foreign correspondent in the Baghdad Bureau, talking about the summer in Iraq.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.